So reading from Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. And you will know the story, I'm sure, about how Joshua and the people of Israel had marched around Jericho each day for 6 days. Verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." And then chapter 7, just across the page, verse 1. "But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel." And we'll pause there. This year, we're going to be thinking through the theme of living deep with God. What does that mean, living deep with God? We might sum it up simply with this: I desire God. That's perhaps innate desire within us for us to know God. For us to live deep with God begins and ends with that desire. I desire God. He doesn't have to do anything. He just has to be. I just want to know him. I want to know what he's like. I want to experience him for myself. I don't want to become rich. I don't want to become famous. I don't want to become powerful or influential. I just desire God. And I think that's something of what it means to live deep with God, or to live more deeply with God, is to be at that point, honestly and openly, where we say, I desire God. Now, of course, we can all say those words, yes, I desire God, and be really say them very easily. And yet it may be that when we search our own hearts and we're honest about it, it might be that we say, no, I don't desire God. And that might be the truth about us today. And it might be even that you hear these words and you read them on the screen and you say, I desire God. That is so far removed from where I am right now. I can't even imagine coming to that place where I say, I desire God for who he is, not for what he can give me. I want a God-centered journey, not a me-centered journey. I can't imagine that. And it may be that we simply have to come to the point of saying, I want to desire God, but I'm not there yet. I want to desire God. I want God to be the center of my life. He's not. But can I just have that want, that desire, that he might become that? I want to be able to give God permission to do what he wants in and through me. Living deep with God. And this morning, we're going to reflect on the story of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. And then a city called, I pronounce it AI, could pronounce it I, great name for a city, the city of Jericho and Ai. And we're going to reflect upon these two cities on the theme of living deep with God. And it is a tale of two cities. When we read about Jericho, it is a story that is full of confidence in God. Joshua had led the people of Israel across the Jordan. There'd been that stark moment for Joshua when God comes to him and says, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now I'm going to speak with you. Now my relationship won't be for you through Moses, but it will be just with you. And I will guide you, I will direct you, I will promise you that I will give you everything you need for this journey. And so Joshua slowly began to lead the people of Israel, and they reached Jericho, and it's a mighty city. But in an extraordinary way, as Joshua led the people and was directed by God, day one, they walked around the city. Day two, they walked around the city. Day three, they walked around the city every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, as we read, they walked around the city seven times. And with so much confidence, extraordinary confidence in God, they respond with this shout. Because Joshua says to them, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And it must have been that extraordinary moment when they actually saw the walls of the city fall down. The unbelievable took place with this confidence in God. And yet Joshua says something quite extraordinary to them. To shout, for the Lord has given you the city. But then he says this, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Everything in the city belongs to God. Now this was not true when eventually they conquer Ai. They're allowed to take things from the city for themselves. But at Jericho, God says, now everything in the city is devoted to me. Everything in the city belongs to me. You're not to have anything for yourself. In fact, it was just this gold and silver and the iron that was given to the priests. But the people of Israel, they were to have nothing. There would be nothing to show for this extraordinary victory. And that was the state at Jericho, a place of confidence in God. But when we get to Ai, it is a place of fear. Let's read Joshua 7, verse 2. Joshua 7 verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So whereas Jericho is a place of great confidence in God, when they get to Ai, something has changed. It's a place now of fear. Their hearts melted and became like water. And we ask the simple question, what changed? What happened between these two cities just a few miles apart? After the victory at Jericho, it seemed so obvious. Of course, the people of Israel could overcome this much smaller city. But it wasn't to be. They had confidence at Jericho. They had fear at Ai. the victory at Jericho, it appears, belonged to God. There was that extraordinary moment when the walls came tumbling down, but we also reflected that everything at Jericho was devoted irrevocably to God. There was nothing in Jericho that they were to hold on to. And this is quite an interesting thing. Nothing in Jericho was to be retained. So there was going to be no place for greed. When the soldiers and the men went around Jericho, they couldn't see, God, I really like that. That's a really smart bit of kit. I like that. Put it under their cloak and keep it. They couldn't do that. But neither was there any place for lust. The beautiful women who lived in Jericho and the great soldiers who went through, some of the soldiers thinking, I'm not married. Nobody, no woman in Israel loves me. They don't fancy me. But there's some beautiful women in Jericho. I'll have one of them. There wouldn't be any room for that. Because God said, you can't keep anything from Jericho. So there'd be no greed, no place for greed. There's no place for lust. There's no place for power, because the soldiers going round, they couldn't say, well, you look like a good, handsome chap, a young, strong man. I'll have you for a slave. And then later on in life, I'll be able to impress people with how powerful I am, because I've got slaves that wait on me. But God says, no, there's going to be no place for power. Neither is there going to be any place for fame. I was part of this great event. There'll be later on, I'm sure the Israelites told the story many, many times. You wouldn't believe it. When we went to Jericho, this great city, do you know what we did? We marched around it and then shouted. And we conquered the city. Oh, wow. Jericho, that was full of riches. That was full of good things. What have you got to show for the event? Nothing. What do you mean? You came away from Jericho with nothing? Nothing. See, in Jericho, everything belonged to God. No place for greed, for lust, for power, for fame. And this extraordinary thing, nothing to show for this great victory. It all belonged to God. The victory belonged to God. Everything in Jericho belonged to God. Well, how about AI? Now, this is a good old-fashioned word. The failure at AI was due to covetousness. Isn't that a great word? It was due to covetousness. And yet, that's the word the Bible actually uses. When we look down at Joshua chapter 7, and we turn over to page 222, verse 20, Joshua chapter 7, verse 20, the man who is guilty of taking something from Jericho has been found. Verse 20, Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." This word to covet, it is a strong desire to possess something that belongs to somebody else. In particular, at Jericho, this covetousness, this desire was to possess something that belonged to God. And we have those verses where Achan, this man, confesses, "I wanted something to show for this extraordinary event." There was that Babylonian robe, those shekels. I wanted them. I wanted to better say, "This is what I got from Jericho. I want to have something to show for this event." Now, I started by talking about living deep with God. And then I talked about two cities, Jericho and Ai. Confidence in God at Jericho, fear at Ai. What changed? God says at Jericho, I'm going to touch you, I'm going to touch Jericho. Something extraordinary is going to happen. But it's not about you. It's nothing for you to keep for yourself. It's nothing for you to boast about. It all belongs to me. Just hold on to it for me. You're to keep nothing for yourself. But what we found is that just one man said, I want something to show. I want something to show for what God has done. And when we live deep with God, that living deep with God is coming to that point of knowing it is about God. Knowing at the end of my life, I may have nothing to show for this devotion to God. I may have nothing to show. Others will say, well, you've walked with God 40 years, 50 years. What difference has he made? I have nothing to show for it. Why not? Because God told me not to keep it for myself, but to give it away. We say, no, well, have you become richer? Haven't you got more money? Oh, well, you see, I followed Jesus and he told me, everything you get, give it away. Well, haven't you become more influential? Well, yes, but every position I was given, I gave that away. Haven't you become more powerful? No, because the way of Jesus is to take up my cross every day and to follow him. So what have you got? Nothing. And the point about these two stories, about Jericho and Ai, is to say that there comes a point in each one of our lives when, just like a little stone that is thrown into a pond, what does it send out? Ripples. And you look and go, where's the stone? Don't know. It's gone. But the ripples, they just carry on and on and on. And we feel them and we sense them and we're aware of them for days, weeks, months, years afterwards. There's nothing tangible to show for what happened. And yet God said, I touched you then. And it will impact our lives for generations after. Living deep with God is coming to that point of being aware, I may have nothing at the end of this to show for my devotion to God. Nothing I can say, show to anybody else. But I did it because my greatest desire was to know God. When we're stuck at a place like Ai, and when things aren't working out, and when things are going wrong, a bit like Joshua, Joshua turns back to God and says, what went wrong? You know, it shouldn't be like this. Surely I followed you. Surely I did your thing and it all went wrong. And we cry before God. Joshua chapter 7 verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same, sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, ah, sovereign Lord, Why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say? Now that Israel has been routed by its enemies, the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this. They will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? When we're here, three things. Three steps, it seems, forward. The first is memory. The second is journey. The third is something called consecration. Moving to live deeper with God. Three steps forward. The first one, memory. Joshua chapter 7, verse 7. Joshua's extraordinary outburst against God. And I wonder how many times have you ever said this? I'll just put it up on the screen. Have you ever said that? Something like it. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why?" You ever said that? You ever prayed that? Why? It evokes memory. Why am I here? How did I get here? Memory. Remembering why. Remembering what God has done in your life. And I've told this story before. You know, at a local middle school where I'm chair of governors, the head teacher has just retired. And on the last day of last term, I went in and sat down with the retiring head teacher. And we got talking, and one of those questions that always seems to come up, "Ed, did you always want to be a minister?" And I began to tell my story. And part of my story is that when I was 12 years old, God touched my life. And I was able to say to Jackie, "Look, you know, I've often tried to get away from that reality. I tried to run from God many times, but I'll tell you this, I cannot escape that fact that when I was 12, God touched my life. And when I cry out to God and say, 'Ah, sovereign Lord, why?' When I was 12, I touched your life. You're here now because of then." And I've told the story about how when Sarah and I were in Thornton Heath in deepest, darkest London, and there was a period where I was hating it. And I thought, why can't I be someone nice? Middle class. You know, successful, powerful, influential, famous. You know, where people appreciated me. And I was whinging at God. And I remember as clear as anything, God speaking. You know, not literally into my ear, but as real. And I can recall the words today. God saying to me, "I brought you here to teach you things about myself." And my immediate protest was, "Well, hang on. Surely I'm here in order to learn how to be a brilliant minister, to learn how to teach and preach and visit and be a blessing to others and to grow. And I brought you here to teach you things about myself. But what will I have to show for that? I brought you here to teach you things about myself." And the "Ah, sovereign Lord, why?" We have to go in our memories back, remembering the story of what God has done. And some of us, we get lost on the way. We begin devoted to God and we're very much immersed in what God is doing. But then somehow the two become separated, and there's God's thing over there and we're over here. And we keep a safe distance. And if ever we're to live deep with God, we need to go back to those moments, those times when God has touched our life. And for some people I know, some people who are not in church, they will tell stories of when they were teenagers, when God touched their life. They didn't know what to do with it, or they were frightened away, or the church didn't welcome them, or whatever. And they say, why? And for them, they go back in their memories to those moments. The second word, just quickly, is that of journey. Because Joshua protests, our sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan? If we are to be deep, live deep with God, then it will involve progress and journey. And whenever we progress, whenever we make a journey, there are great opportunities, but there's also temptations, there's also risks we take. And of course, we can say, well, no, I'm quite safe where I am. I'll stay right here because I know where I am. I know where I'm at. I know where everything is. I won't move forward because I'm secure here. But God's call always, if we're to live deep with him, is to journey forwards. And that creates opportunities, also temptations, and we take risks as we do that. Memory, journey. And the third is that of consecration. It's fascinating. In verse 10 of Joshua 7, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up, what are you doing on your face? And so often we'll say, you know, it's not worked out. I'll repent, I'll lie on my face, I'll throw dust on my head. And God says, get up off your face. Get up. There's something to be sorted. There's something to be sorted. And he says, go back and tell the people in verse 13, go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. And it's going back to that point. Giving ourselves afresh to God. Giving permission to God to act in our life. Memory, remembering those moments. Journey, knowing we have to move. And consecration, giving God permission once again to act in our life, to do what he wants to do in our life. And it may be at the end of the story, there'll be nothing to show for it. But we'll say consistently on the journey, oh God, there is only one thing I desire, and that is to know you. Might it be that today God would put a seed in our hearts, a desire to desire God? Might it be the beginning of us together helping one another, encouraging one another to live deeper with God? And let's just pray over that now. Father, I pray right now for the memories. I pray that you'd help us right now to remember. Remember the why. Remember why we got into this. Remember those moments where you touched us. You sent the ripples out across our life. The memories of those times when we were passionate for you, when we said we don't want anything else but you. Through all the walls of sin and regret and cynicism, Father, break those walls down so that we might remember. And Father, I pray that the memory of those events when you have touched us would burn bright within our lives. That there might be that fresh desire to live deeply with you when nothing else matters. But you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.